RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and Focus for Ukraine, headline newspaper, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia becomes 10th largest contributor to United Nations Security Forces. Indonesia convey deepest condolences on bomb attack in Brazil. Indonesia offers steps to improve the role of the Bali process. Now the news in detail. Indonesia has managed to become the 10th largest contributor to the United Nations peacekeeping forces among the 124 contributing countries, according to the official website of the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry Tuesday. This important achievement is recorded in the ranking list of troop contributing countries to the UN peacekeeping missions, which was published by the agency on Thursday, March 17. According to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the Indonesian government has currently sent 2,843 military and police personnel to take part in 10 UN peacekeeping missions in Lebanon, Darfur, Sudan, the Republic of Central Africa, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Mali, West Sahara in Haiti, Liberia, South Sudan, and Abyei. In line with the vision, the Indonesian government will continue to send one composite battalion comprising 800 military personnel, 140 police personnel, and 100 police officers in 2016. Indonesia's Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi conveyed her deepest sympathy after the bomb attacks in Brussels, Belgium. During her remark at the opening ceremony of the 6th ministerial meeting of the Bali process on people smuggling, trafficking in humans and related transnational crime in Bali Wednesday, Minister Retno also conveyed her condolences to the people and victims of the bomb attacks. Minister Retno stated that Indonesian government strongly condemned every act of terror and invited all countries to unite in its effort to fight against terrorism.
I would like to take this opportunity to convey our sympathy and condolences to the government, the people of the Kingdom of Belgium, as well as the family and the victim of bomb attacks in Brussels yesterday. We strongly condemn the act of terror. Let us together, united in our fight against terrorism.
Similar statement also delivered by the Australian Foreign Affairs Minister Julie Bishop. In the same place, Minister Julie conveyed her condolences to the government and people of Belgium, as well as victims of the bomb attacks. She further called on a global community to redouble effort to counter terrorism in any way necessary wherever it occurs. Indonesia's Minister for Foreign Affairs, Retno LP Marsudi, offered the Bali process to improve its effort to tackle problems of migration that has been increasingly worrying and become more complex. It was stated in her remark at the opening ceremony of the 6th ministerial meetings of the Bali process on people smuggling, trafficking in humans, and related transnational crime in Nusa Dua, Bali on Wednesday. According to her, the complexity of irregular migrants' problems has been endorsed by several causes, namely the conflict of wars, economic consideration and corruption that cause losses, danger and harm to the well-being of the irregular migrants.
We acknowledge the need for the Bali process to be always relevant by responding timely to emergency situations whenever and wherever they arise that cause by irregular migrations in our region. It is in this regard that we come forward with the proposals to establish a consultative mechanisms between the co-chairs in responding to such emergency situations. The co-chair would like to seek your support for the Bali Process declarations on irregular migration. It is indeed a non-legally binding document that expresses our concern, reaffirming our commitments, and identifying our priorities for the next 2 years.
Moreover, Minister Retno LP Marsudi explained that the aim of improving the role of the Bali process in dealing with irregular migrants cannot be accomplished without support and cooperation from affected countries, international organizations, and civil society. She further hoped that the Bali process will discuss and issue a forward-looking of Bali process ministerial declaration on irregular migration. Australian Foreign Affairs Minister Julie Bishop encouraged sustainable effort of countries in the region to address the root causes that make people vulnerable to irregular movement. It was stated in her remark at the opening ceremony of the 6th ministerial meeting of the Bali Process on People Smuggling, Trafficking in Humans and Transnational Crime in Nusa Dua, Bali, Wednesday. According to Julie Bishop, besides resulting the Bali Declaration and the consultative mechanism for co-chair of the Bali process in responding timely on irregular movement, the meeting is also expected to expand safe migration to avoid more victims on boat voyages.
I encourage sustained efforts by countries to address the root causes that make people vulnerable to irregular movement. We also need to expand safe migration and protection pathways to provide an alternative to dangerous boat voyages.
Furthermore, Minister Julie Bishop in her remarks also invited Bali Process member countries to adopt together the first Bali Declaration on People Smuggling, Trafficking in Persons and Related Transnational Crime. By adopting this non-binding declaration, she said that Bali Process will make clear a political commitment to tackling these complex issues. She also believed that the Bali Process member states can also agree on concrete actions to further strengthen practical cooperation under the Bali Process. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi conducted bilateral meeting with Immigration Minister of New Zealand Michael Woodhouse on the sidelines of the 6th Bali Process ministerial meeting Tuesday in Nusa Dua, Bali. The two ministers discussed bilateral cooperation to settle the cause of migrant issues in the region, as well as to find long-term comprehensive solution. Minister Retno Marsudi said the two countries are finishing the draft of Memorandum of Understanding on Immigration Cooperation and Border Control. They also discussed about the planned visit of Prime Minister of New Zealand to Indonesia.
And we try also to finalize the pending draft MOU on migration and border control management, which we do hope when the Prime Minister of New Zealand visiting Indonesia, then we will be able to sign this draft MOU.
On the bilateral meeting, Indonesian government also conveyed its expectation on New Zealand's support for Bali Process meeting, as well as for the agreement resulted at the 6th meeting of Bali Process. Director of the International Labour Organization ILO in Indonesia, Francisco D. Ovidio, appreciates Indonesia's progress in improving the inclusiveness of persons with disabilities in business and employment. In the Business Forum for Disability that organized by ILO on Tuesday, February 22nd in Jakarta, Francesco D'Ovidio said, the progress is indicated by the protection of the rights of persons with disabilities through legislation and the number of companies in Indonesia that employ persons with disabilities. Recently, the House of Representatives accomplished the Act No. 4 in 1997 about disabilities. According to Francesco, the Act is in line with ILO Convention No. 111 on discrimination in employment and occupation. Compared with other countries in Asia, Indonesia has done the right thing in the provision of employment for persons with disabilities.
Indonesia is really on the right track. Compared to Asian country, for example, there is much more consideration from a policy point of view, from a legal point of view. Obviously, Indonesia being such a big country with 160 million workers, it is very difficult to extend this progress everywhere, especially now. I think the challenge after some pilot examples that are happening here in Jakarta is to extend this in the provinces and to decentralize these examples.
Francesco D'Ovidio further explained that the ILO has encountered many companies that employ persons with disabilities, but most firms is only in Jakarta. On the same occasion, Deputy Director for Special Employment, Ministry of Labor, Sabto Purnomo, ensured that on the next recruitment of civil servants, there will be special vacancy for persons with disabilities. In the Act, it obliges government institutions, both ministries, the central government, local government, the national-owned enterprises, and local-owned enterprises to allocate 2% quotas for persons with disabilities. The last item, the market share of the country's Islamic banks has remained low at less than 5% in the past several years, despite effort to promote Sharia financial services to the mostly Muslim Indonesian population. As quoted by Jakarta Post, Islamic finance expert Irfan Shauki Baik said, Indonesians are still reluctant to open accounts or carry out transactions through Sharia-compliant banks, as they are mostly still unaware of the advantages of Islamic banking services. He also said another factor that has caused the Sharia bank's stagnant low market share is their weak financing capacity. He further said that most of the existing Islamic banks are undercapitalized so that they are unable to expand their business rapidly. Indonesia, as the country with the world's largest Muslim population, is quite a promising market for Sharia banks because the banks offer banking services that are based on Islamic principles. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesia become 10th largest contributor to the United Nations Security Forces. Indonesia convey deepest condolences on bomb attack in Brussels. Indonesia offers steps to improve the role of the Bali process. That was the news.
Open your eyes, open your mind. Feel the warmth, see the smile. Friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me. People of the land, they dance and sing. Magnificent beauty of nature among the colors of heaven. This is a wonderful place. I feel love. Oh, wonderful Indonesia.
Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016.
Are you dreaming of enjoying the beauty of Indonesia? Make your dreams come true by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz. You may be the lucky one to visit the enchanting Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. In early 2016, Indonesia won International Tourism Awards. Could you mention the three awards? 2. Mention 3 out of 10 Indonesian priority tourism destinations in 2016. 3. What is the biggest Buddhist temple in the world that we can find in Indonesia? 4. Mention 3 Indonesia's world cultural heritage which have been recognized by UNESCO. 5. Mention 3 kinds of Indonesian cuisine. 6. How do you listen to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia? 7. What is your favorite program? 8. Please tell in brief, why do you want to visit Indonesia? You can find information about the answer at www.indonesia.travel. Send your answers, photo, and copy of passport to wiquiz2016@gmail.com. wiquiz2016@gmail.com or to our address at Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Central Jakarta, 10110, before May 7, 2016. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016 is brought to you by Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
Oh, wonderful Indonesia.
Hello listeners, this is commentary entitled Challenges of the Elected Myanmar President, Thein Kyaw. I'm Rahmawati. The elected Myanmar president, Thein Kyaw, faces big challenges in managing the country, which was just free from military junta. Thein Kyaw, who comes from the National League for Democracy Party, led by Aung San Suu Kyi, becomes the first Myanmar civilian president after more than 50 years under the authority of military. Actually, in the general elections 1990, pro-democracy party led by Aung San Suu Kyi won 82% of vote. However, the result of the elections was not recognized by the ruling military regime. March 15, 2016 becomes a historical day for Myanmar as Thein Kyaw is elected as the first civilian president after more than 5 decades under the ruling military. Myanmar, with republic as the form of government, is a country in Southeast Asia which had been governed by military since coup d'etat in 1988. The population of the developing country is more than 50 million people. In 1988, Myanmar experienced a big demonstration wave against military junta administration, which ended up in violent actions committed by soldiers to demonstrators. Poverty eradication, strong military influence, and cabinet streamlining are homework for the new leader of Myanmar. Another issue is the low human resources. The first task to be done by Kyaw is forming a new cabinet that will start to work by early April. The pro-democracy leader of Myanmar, Aung San Suu Kyi, is said to be included in the new cabinet of President Thein Kyaw. However, it needs cabinet streamlining. In the past, there were 36 ministries which were mostly occupied by the military. Another important thing to be soon solved is corruption scandal and inefficiency. Besides, there are issues on workers and limited job opportunities that can trigger social turmoil. Can President Tin Kiao face such big challenges? The success of the National League Party for Democracy in winning the general elections in Myanmar and support from Myanmar military commander General Min Aung Hlaing for President Tin Kiao may become the sign of the awakening of Myanmar. However, it needs hard work and support from all parties to reach a strong administration economically, socially, and politically. Well, listeners, that's commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome back to Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. We begin with an event March 23, 1919, when fascism movement began. On March 23, 1919, fascism movement in Italy was established by Benito Mussolini. Fascism is an authoritarian politic movement which developed in Italy and several other European countries as a reaction against socio-political changes due to the World War I and the spreading socialism and communism. Italian Fascist Party developed rapidly so that in 1921 it had 300,000 members. In that same year, 35 members of this party successfully made it into the parliament. The fascist government had extreme nationalism, spread terror, created fear culture, militarism, hegemony, erasing certain ideology, as well as depended on the charisma of a leader. Listener, we continue with an event on March 23, 1950. The World Meteorological Organization was established. The World Meteorological Organization is an intergovernmental organization under the United Nations. The organization had members from 187 countries and territories. The World Meteorological Organization played an international role in monitoring and protecting the environment through its various programs, such as global weather and climate observation, as well as hydrology and water sources program. The World Meteorological Organization was established on March 23, 1950, and the establishment day is commemorated as the World Meteorological Day. Listener, we end today in history with an event on March 23, 1978. Adam Malik became the third Vice President of Indonesia. Right on March 23, 1978, Adam Malik was named as the third Vice President of Indonesia, replacing Hamengkubuwono IX. His career was begun as a journalist and nationalist movement figure. In 1963, Adam Malik for the first time joined the cabinet as Trade Minister and as Deputy Commander of the 1st Economic Operation High Command. In 1964, he was appointed as the head of Delegation for Trade and Development Commission in the United Nations. In 1966, his career soared by becoming the second Deputy Prime Minister as well as Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister in the revised or Dwi Korra II cabinet. The big career of Adam Malik was achieved when he was appointed as the third Vice President of Indonesia by People's Consultative Assembly on March 23, 1978. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. daily news and events.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to Voice Green. Today's edition features World Water Day, which falls on March 22nd. Listener, March 22nd is commemorated as World Water Day. The commemoration was initiated from a UN Conference on Environment and Development in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, which recommended a warning for water issue. The session that was held on December 22, 1992, decided March 22, 1993, as the first World Water Day. Since then, the World Water Day is commemorated annually to increase awareness of the importance of water and its sustainable management. Indonesia commemorated the World Water Day with various activities. The activities are aimed to educate people in preserving water resources, such as by keeping the environment clean. A clean water management company in Jakarta held the Walk for Water on Sunday, March 20th. The event was participated in by company staff and customers, as well as environmental community. They had a fun walk, mass exercises, visit to water management installation, picking up trashes along Muhammad Tamrin and Sudirman Protocol routes, as well as dance performance by primary school students and music made of recycled materials by Anak Akar Studio. The other activities are water education program to primary school students, as well as making biopores or absorbing well in every school. Also, there were writing competition for primary school, photography and writing competition for the students, which all are themed under water sources preservation. In Surabaya City, the World Water Day commemoration was done by Attaqwa Islamic Primary School students on Monday, March 21st at Pelangi Park, Ahmad Yani Street. They came to the park with colorful pottery jugs. Then they filled those jugs with water from the fountain at the park. Vice Principal of the school, Muhammad Masrur, said the jugs represents kitchen utensils which contains water and channel it according to the needs. The students were expected to save the future by using the water wisely. In the end of the event, the students hold banner saying Happy World Water Day. The World Water Day in Indonesia was also commemorated with formal way. Indonesia was chosen to host the first Asia Water Council meeting to be held in Bali on March 24 to 26, 2016. Asia Water Council was the result of four meetings, namely Asian Water High Level Roundtable since June 2014. Public Works Ministry's Water Resource Management Director, Agus Suprapto, last Monday stated, the Asia Water Council meeting will discuss the challenge of water resources in Asian level, especially the technology implementation. Listener, that was The Voice Green.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesia has managed to become the 10th largest contributor to the United Nations UN peacekeeping forces among the 124 contributing countries according to the official website of the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry. Indonesia's Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi conveyed her deepest sympathy after the bomb attacks in Brussels, Belgium, during her remarks in the opening ceremony of the 6th ministerial meeting of the Bali process. Wednesday, Minister Retno also conveyed her condolences to the people and victims of the bomb attacks. Indonesia's Minister for Foreign Affairs Retno LT Marsudi offered the Bali process to improve its effort to tackle problems of migration that has been increasingly worrying and became more complex. According to her, the complexity of irregular migrants' problems has been endorsed by several causes, namely the conflict and wars, economic consideration, and corruption that cause losses, danger, and harm to the well-being of the irregular migrants. Australian Foreign Affairs Minister Julie Bishop encouraged sustainable effort of countries in the region to address the root causes that make people vulnerable to irregular movement. According to Julie Bishop, besides resulting the Bali Declaration and the consultative mechanism for co-chair of the Bali process in responding timely on irregular movement, the meeting is also expected to expand safe migration to avoid more victims on boat voyages. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi conducted bilateral meeting with Immigration Minister of New Zealand Michael Woodhouse on the sidelines of the 6th Bali Process Ministerial Meeting in Nusa Dua, Bali. Director of the International Labour Organization ILO in Indonesia, Francesco D'Ovidio, appreciates Indonesia's progress in improving the inclusiveness of persons with disabilities in business and employment. The market share of the country's Islamic banks has remained low at least than 5% in the past several years, despite effort to promote Sharia financial services to the mostly Muslim Indonesian population. That was news in brief.
Open your eyes, open your mind. Feel the warmth, see the smile. Friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me. Among the colors of heaven, this is a wonderful place. I feel loved, I feel wonderful, oh wonderful Indonesia.
Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI, World Service, Voice of Indonesia, present Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016. Are you dreaming of enjoying the beauty of Indonesia? Make your dreams come true by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz. You may be the lucky one to visit the enchanting Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. In early 2016, Indonesia won International Tourism Awards. Could you mention the three awards? 2. Mention 3 out of 10 Indonesian priority tourism destinations in 2016. 3. What is the biggest Buddhist temple in the world that we can find in Indonesia? 4. Mention 3 Indonesia's World Cultural Heritage which have been recognized by UNESCO. 5. Mention 3 kinds of Indonesian cuisine. 6. How do you listen to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia? 7. What is your favorite program? 8. Please tell in brief, why do you want to visit Indonesia? You can find information about the answer at www.indonesia.travel. Send your answers, photo, and copy of passport to wiquiz2016@gmail.com. wiquiz2016@gmail.com. Or to our address at Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Central Jakarta, 10110, before May 7, 2016. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016 is brought to you by Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
A wonderful Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz or through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and let's speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit North Maluku. Stay tuned. Listeners, total solar eclipse momentum on March 9 has succeeded to boost tourist arrival. In Ternate, North Maluku, this momentum was witnessed by around 4,000 tourists, including around 1,000 foreign tourists. In addition to solar eclipse phenomenon, those tourists also enjoyed beautiful tourism objects such as beach, the historical heritage, cultural heritage, and traces of volcanic activity of Mount Gamalama. Traces of the eruption of Mount Gamalama appeared on tourist objects of Tolere Lake and Batu Angus. Listeners, Batu Angus is one of icons of Ternate tourism object. It is the most favorable tourism object by domestic and foreign tourists. Surely, tourists who visit Ternate also come to Batu Angus. Batu Angus is located around 10 kilometers from Ternate, exactly on the axis of the ring road of Ternate Island. This tourism object can be accessed by using land transportation. Arriving at the location, you must walk as long as 200 meters to Batu Angus. Batu Angus is an overlay of rock that looks like the ones carved. The overlay of the rock spreads from the slope of Mount Gamalama until beach. The rock is the remnants of lava eruption of Mount Gamalama in the 17th century. Lavas which have become rocks are like rocks which were burnt out. Because of that, local people named it Batu Angus. At Batu Angus area, there is historical site where a Japanese soldier died due to his parachute was not opened normally after jumping from airplane when World War II. Listeners, interesting panorama of Batu Angus becomes tourist attraction to take pictures. Besides, you can witness and enjoy green panorama of Mount Gamalama, sea and Halmahera Island, which can be seen from highland area of Batu Angus. At 10 hectares of white land, you can set a tent while waiting for sunset. Because there is no stall, you can must bring your own food and beverage. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, meet again with me in the Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, introducing you Indonesian vocabulary and expressions as well as their use in conversation. Today's topic is bertemu teman lama, or in English means meeting an old friend. Stay tuned. As usual, I will say the Indonesian vocabulary and expressions related to our topic today. I will say them twice slowly and you can follow after me. Bertemu, bertemu. In English, to meet. Teman lama, teman lama. In English, old friend. Sudah lama tidak bertemu, sudah lama tidak bertemu. In English, long time no see. Apa kabar keluargamu? Apa kabar keluargamu? In English, how is your family? Mereka baik. Mereka baik. In English, they are fine. Saya dengar. In English, I heard. Bekerja. Bekerja. In English, to work. Manager bank. Manager bank. In English, bank manager. Menikmati. Menikmati. In English, to enjoy. Pekerjaan saya. Pekerjaan saya. In English, my job. Maaf. Maaf. In English, I'm sorry. Harus. Harus. In English, must. Pergi. Pergi. In English, to go. Sekarang. Sekarang. In English, now. Tidak apa-apa. Tidak apa-apa. In English, it's okay. Senang. Senang. In English, happy. Sampai bertemu lagi. Sampai bertemu lagi. In English, see you again. Selamat tinggal. Selamat tinggal. In English, goodbye. Now, here is a conversation example between Lucy or A and Hannah or B. I will say them twice only and you can repeat after me. A. Halo Hannah, sudah lama kita tidak bertemu. Halo Hannah, sudah lama kita tidak bertemu. In English, hi Hannah, long time no see. B. Ya, sudah cukup lama kita tidak bertemu. Ya, sudah cukup lama kita tidak bertemu. In English, yeah, it's been too long. A. Bagaimana kabar keluargamu? Bagaimana kabar keluargamu? In English, how's your family? B. Mereka baik. Mereka baik. In English, oh, they're fine. Saya dengar kamu bekerja sebagai manajer bank. Saya dengar kamu bekerja sebagai manajer bank. In English, by the way, I heard you became a bank manager. A. Ya, saya sangat menikmati pekerjaan saya. Ya, saya sangat menikmati pekerjaan saya. In English, yes, I really enjoy my job. Maaf, saya harus pergi sekarang. Maaf, saya harus pergi sekarang. In English, I'm sorry, I have to go now. B. Oh, tidak apa-apa. Oh, tidak apa-apa. In English? Oh, it's okay. Senang bertemu denganmu. Senang bertemu denganmu. In English? Nice to meet you, by the way. Sampai bertemu lagi. Sampai bertemu lagi. In English? See you again. A. Selamat tinggal. Selamat tinggal. In English, goodbye. Listener, that's the Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today, and we meet again next week with other interesting topic. Thank you for listening, and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. Today's edition, I will present you to Christine Panjaitan, the beautiful female singer who comes from North Sumatra, will dedicate her first song in today's segment of Music Corner entitled Sudah Kubilang. Let's enjoy the song.
Jangan kan terbakar nanti. nanti. Jangan kau bawa dirimu dalam mimpi. Jangan lagi, jangan sayang, kau deraikan lagi air mata di pipimu.
Most of Christine Panjaitan's songs were composed by Rinto Harahap. She nicely and perfectly dedicated the song, so that her talent to sing has catapulted her name to be an Indonesian singer who brought a special color in the Indonesian music industry in 80s era. Former lecturer of Pajajaran University ran her music career since she was teenager. However, she has not found appropriate songs for her vocal character. She did not sure to run her ability in the Indonesian pop music at that time. After she got some songs of Rinto Harahap, such as Tangan Tak Sampai and Untuk Mama, then Christine Panjaitan successfully invited the music lovers to accept all of her songs she dedicated and wait for her performance in the music industry of the country. Well, listener, before we continue to get to know Christine Panjaitan, now I'll take you to listen the next song entitled Untuk Mama. Happy listening. Thank you.
bibirmu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.